Now, your mission? Find Bourne.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 42 of the Attractions Podcast. I'm Banks.
And I'm Brittany.
And we're here to give you the rundown of all the latest happenings from the past week over at attractionsmagazine.com and in our lives in general. And we got lots to talk about this week.
Yeah, we do.
From the theme park world, but from our personal lives as well. We might as well go ahead and just jump right in this. First off, if you're listening to the audio version of this, we do live stream the recording of this podcast every Sunday night at 9 p.m. at youtube.com/attractionsmagazine. So you may hear us interacting with people in our YouTube chat. And there's some visuals as well that you don't get to see on the audio version. So tune in, join us. So we're going to start right in because already people are asking in the chat here. I did make an announcement this past week that on July 14th, I will be leaving Attractions Magazine after 10 years, and I am moving on to Legoland Florida to be their new public relations and content manager. It's a big, big change for me. I've been doing the theme park reporting now, like I said, for 10 years. So now switching over to the PR side of things and working for a theme park again is very exciting, very sad to be leaving everyone here. Brittany, I love you. I've been loving hosting this podcast with you and helping run the website with you. So it's sad, but at the same time, I'm very excited for this change.
It's such a huge change because I feel like you are synonymous with Attractions, and you moving on is kind of like a new chapter for all of us.
Yeah,
but I'm so excited to see what you do over there.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I've been hearing a lot of people saying, and it's like I've been the face of Attractions, and they'll miss seeing me. And yeah, Attractions is still going to be the same thing it's always has been. There's still going to be videos and all the blog posts and things. So there may be a bit of a transition as I step out of the media manager role. I'm not sure how often videos we put out because I always try to do at least one a day. So you know, bear with Attractions and everyone that's running the website as the transition does happen. But I'm excited for their future and what is going to be happening here. Rodney was asking if I'm going to continue doing E&L on the podcast. I will not. I am 100% stepping away from Attractions Magazine. This is a goodbye. This really is a goodbye. I will not be back. That's weird to say. But it's kind of a conflict of interest. I'm going to be in a PR role at Legoland, so I'm going to be kind of like a talking head for them, so it would not make sense and wouldn't be good to then be over here continuing talking about the news of other theme parks. So
yeah.
I'm fully stepping away. I'm not sure what the plan is in terms of the podcast and Early Night Live. I know we've already talked to Ava and Kat about them continuing Early Night Live without me and Brittany. I mean, I'm not sure if you know.
I have one person in mind. I'm sure you don't know him, but he's a friend of mine. He's been more involved in the theme park community than I have. Like,
oh wow.
For a long, long time, he's super knowledgeable about everything. One of my best friends in Orlando, and we're gonna do a test episode. I don't know if you guys will get to watch it on here or if it will just be recorded to see our banter. And mm-hmm. then I'll submit it. And then if that goes through, we will have a new co-host. And if not, I guess it'll be a rotating chair until we do find someone.
Yeah, I know Matt Roseman, the owner of Attractions Magazine, was saying that they may make that test episode for subscribers only. So
yeah.
If you are a subscriber to attractionsmagazine.com, then you might be able to see that or hear that test episode. So be on the lookout for that. Thank you everyone in the chat who are offering up their congratulations. I do appreciate that. Midway Mayhem, good to see you, sir. We'll miss you too at the events, but you'll see me when you come to Legoland, that's for sure. Roddy, it's a mix of emotions, but mainly let's look at this as a huge bright side, not only for Attractions, get things kind of, changed up a little bit for after 10 years. But, my life, I'm going to be like a huge new chapter for me. So it's all going to be good. It is all going to be good. Midway Mayhem. Yes. One of my proudest moments. I'm going to hold off on that because next week's episode of the Attractions Podcast will be my final episode So I am going to do for our main attraction, I'm going to do my top 10 favorite moments from the past 10 years. So you can look out for that next week on the attractions podcast. So yes, Rodney, come visit me. Come to Legoland. Please do. It's a great place. If any of y'all have never been to Legoland, I highly do recommend it, especially if you have kids, because it's built for kids 2 to 12. There's plenty of them to do there, or plenty of things for them to do there. I cannot talk tonight. But I'm not going to turn into the PR guy already. So
we're gonna start till the 15th. Come on.
I know exactly. They're not paying me yet. So we're going to keep moving on here. But Brittany, how's thing going on over there in the Austin, Texas life?
Well, you know, cases are rising every day. I went to the grocery store for the first time. Terrifying. I was hyper aware of everything I was touching, how close mm-hmm. people got to me. No one values personal space. and it's just so weird, man. I hate it. I hate all of this, and I just want it to be over. Top of all of that, it's really hot here.
Mm-hmm.
And Brody lost his first tooth, which was kind of traumatic for us. Because if you guys are out there and you like have dogs, you know that they'll just like lose them, and blood gets everywhere, and that's usually how you know that they've lost a tooth. And he was playing with one of his toys, and his toy bin, Josh picked it up, and it had blood all over it. And we were like, oh, what's wrong with him? And then we picked him up and looked in his mouth, and like this tooth right here is just gone. And it's like the teeniest, tiniest little thing. So he started to lose his teeth. So he's getting big.
He's going to get his big boy teeth in soon.
Let's hope, because he bites everything, and it's not fun.
I was going to say, going off what you were talking about going to the grocery store, I've been lucky in terms of like the Target near where we live has been mm-hmm. doing a really, really good job in terms of making sure everyone wears a mask when they go inside, and everyone in there has been very respective.
Yeah.
I have gone to like a Publix and yeesh.
Yeah, man.
I mean, I will say I've been to the theme parks now several times, and I feel safer at the theme parks than I do at the grocery store.
They just made it statewide that you have to wear a mask if you go out in public.
I saw that.
Or it's a $250 fine, I think.
Oh, wow.
Look
at Texas. Go Texas, finally.
Yeah. Everyone that I saw on social media was super happy about it. But it's just like everyone wears the mask, but it'll be like a little low to their noses, or they'll take it off as soon as they get outside. They won't observe like the social distancing, so they'll just like wear the mask and then grocery shop like normal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really stressful. Normally, I'll stay home and watch the dog, and then Josh will go out and get groceries because it's easier to navigate if you're by yourself.
Yeah.
But we went this time just to pick up dinner really quick, and I had no idea what it was really like, and now I do. And I don't want to do it again.
You're not eager to get back out.
No. And it just reminds me that like the bubble of my home, there's this whole thing that's happening outside of it and all these people. And you just like that little voice in the back of your head that's like, hey, there's a pandemic happening right now. Every time you leave your house, you're at risk. And that's scary.
yeah, it is, and you know it's one of those things where the more I go out, the more I'm getting used to it. But it's still always one of those things where you're very aware.
Yeah,
especially when you look over and you see everyone else wearing their masks as well, and you're like, oh yeah, this is a thing that's happening right now, and you see all the stickers on the ground for social mm-hmm. distancing. So I mean, this is going to be something that's going to be, I would be willing to bet, for the rest of the year at least.
Yeah, and I just ordered some new masks with like the nose bridge clip and everything. Nice. And filters. So,
I went to SeaWorld for the 4th of July on the 3rd, fireworks, and bought some SeaWorld masks. And they have two different types of masks available there. So they've got these kind of masks right here that are just flat.
Yeah.
And these don't fit me very well. I don't like these. But they have these that I like that have like ridges on them.
Oh, so they're like,
they fit me a lot better. So this is Sydney's rainbow mask. I'm probably going to go back and get myself either this rainbow mask or a solid color one to get around me. So yeah, this fits a lot more comfortably than those other ones. So I do like these kind.
I only have, I bought one from like a small shop here in town, and it's just sewn fabric with adjustable tie ear loops. And then the ones that I just bought have adjustable tie ear loops, but they have a filter pocket, and then the clip is built into the fabric, so it's not on the outside.
Okay, nice. Yeah. Hello from the Netherlands. Someone in our YouTube chat is watching from the Netherlands. Hello to you. Thank you for watching.
Oh, I actually, there's an article on attractionsmagazine.com about his Epcot music covers.
Is that him?
Yes.
Okay, dude, your music is amazing. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in tonight. But yeah, thank you for the music as well. Like, oh, just so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I've pretty much talked about what's going on in my life.
It's way more interesting than what I'm doing. I'm just sitting at home.
My future. But I will briefly mention, because I did mention it there, that I went to SeaWorld. My first time going to SeaWorld since it reopened. And I went on July 3rd to see their first night of the fireworks. And I, you know, you heard the reports when it first opened of how things were not working out. But when I went, wasn't crowded at all. Everyone was wearing their masks. The team members were being very diligent about telling people to put their masks on if they were not, because I staked out a spot at Bayside Stadium for the fireworks, and I was there 2 hours before the fireworks started because I had friends over there. We were just kind of hanging out, and I was on the stage area. They had circles for people to sit, you know, apart from each other. And yeah, we saw team members walking around constantly and telling people who were sitting down to put their masks back on, because, you know, even if you're sitting there, you still need to keep your masks on. So it was nice to see.
That's great. I mean, I wondered with the fireworks and everything, how that would go. Because I know Legoland did fireworks as well.
Yes, they did do fireworks. They just did it on the 4th, but they did do it. And I saw some photos from out there, and they had the socially distant viewings as well. So it seems, you know, Legoland and SeaWorld are the only parks that did fireworks. And for all intents and purposes, everything looked to go pretty well.
Well, that's good. We heard fireworks in my backyard.
let me tell you, it felt like, because, you know, because Disney wasn't doing anything, everyone around my neighborhood decided to pick up the you know, pace. Yep. And it was like more fireworks than I've ever heard since living here.
They were going off until like 2 a.m., I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. And there were people like in my street with sparklers and everything. I'm like, you guys are extra.
we got people on vacation staying in the house right behind us, and they are loud at 3 a.m. And nice. We're like, shush. But you know, what can we do? All right, well, let's jump right into it. We actually do have a lot of news to talk about. So
we do.
There's a lot that happened this week. Let's jump right into news in the queue.
All right, well, I don't have it on here, but unless you lived under a rock this past week, Hamilton is available for everyone to watch on Disney Plus. Did you watch it?
We've gotten...
It's long.
We're in Act Two. I think we're about 10 or 15 minutes into Act Two right now. We paused it to take care of the kid, but I haven't gotten to finish it yet. But like, I'm really blown away right now.
Yeah.
Because like I've held myself back from listening to any of the music at first, because I didn't understand the hype.
And yeah.
I am not a rap music kind of person, but I am a musical theater person. But I was like, I haven't listened to the soundtrack yet. And then they announced this, and I was like, all right, well, I won't listen to it, and I'll just experience it when it debuts. And man, I was honestly not expecting it to be a nonstop musical. Like there are no dialogue scenes between the songs. It's one after another. I was not expecting that. And it's really, really cool.
We put it on Friday, and we like turned up our subwoofer and had the sound bar going, so it was like rattling the house. I had watched a bootleg because I have no self-control, but Josh had never seen it before. And it was just, man, it was incredible actually watching it in a way that it was supposed to be seen. The staging is incredible. The music is so good.
The lighting blows me away, and the choreography. Oh,
and I just, the standout performances for me had to be Leslie Odom Jr., Chris Jackson, and Jonathan Groff.
He was
insane, absolutely unhinged.
I gotta show this because I can't reach it. Got it. Okay. So, for those who watch Early Night Live, this past Early Night Live, we did a drawing contest, and my wife Sydney was inspired by that. And so, in honor of Hamilton and in honor of Jonathan Groff's performance, she drew Kristoff as King George. And for those listening to the audio version, you can go check out the video version to see this. But
oh my goodness, that's really good,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, now we just need that spit that was like on his chin.
I one shot. Lost my mind at the spit. My favorite was his reprise, and he said something like, "I'm so blue," and then stopped his foot, and then the lighting changed. And he like did this pouty lip, and I was just like, he should, this is not work for him. This is, he's having too much fun. Mm-hmm. Oh man, it was so good. And everyone was crying. It was
because we haven't gotten through a lot of the heavy stuff yet. Like so far, the only one who there was that one character that dies, who then comes back and plays their son.
Lawrence.
Yes.
Lawrence.
We've seen his death scene.
Yeah, that's
But we haven't gotten to any of the other really heavy points yet, but I expect to be very moved.
When they filmed this, it was the week before the first cast members started departing. I think Leslie Odom Jr. was the first to leave. Him or David were the first ones to leave. Mm-hmm. So towards the back half of the show, you can see their emotions like displayed on their face. And during Chris Jackson's last song, One Last Time, if you look over at Lynn when he's singing his big notes, Lynn is just like in awe of Chris Jackson, and it's incredible. And he's like crying, and it's just like breaking the fourth wall a little bit because it's so good.
I have to watch it again.
But if you have not subscribed to Disney Plus, this alone is a good reason to just sign up and watch it, because you will not be disappointed. It is beautifully filmed. And let's be honest, a lot of us probably will never get to see it on stage in our lifetime because 100%. Tickets are so expensive. Yep. And I think this, I hope anyway, that the reception of this will lead to more productions being filmed professionally and released, because theater needs to be more accessible.
Agreed. Yeah. And especially this may light a fire under Disney to film their Broadway productions, put it out on Disney Plus. Like that makes perfect sense.
My dream would be if they got Michael Arden and Patrick Page to do Hunchback again, and they bring back Sierra Renee for Esmeralda, and mm-hmm. just do that again and film it and put it on Disney Plus. I would literally die.
I know, and this, there's no way if this will ever be on Disney Plus, but I did see that Josh Gad said that they have a filmed version of Book of Mormon out there. They did film it during one of his last weeks there. So that exists somewhere, and maybe some streaming service will win the bid for that one. That may be a good for like HBO Max, like who can have that kind of comedy and humor and language.
I think HBO actually has South Park, so they already have a relationship with Matt and Trey anyway.
Yeah, so that'd be good to see. That'd be really cool to see. Yeah. But yeah, more Broadway for streaming services.
Please. All right, next up, Cirque du Soleil recently filed for bankruptcy protection.
Yeah.
As a result of COVID-19. Now, this is not filing for bankruptcy. It's filing for protection from their creditors should they go bankrupt. So it's a little different. They are also organizing a potential sale to kind of salvage the business. And if you didn't know, Blue Man Group is owned by Cirque du Soleil, so this affects them as well. As of right now, all future Blue Man Group shows are suspended, and the same with Cirque du Soleil's shows. But according to the press release that Cirque shared, these shows at Disney Springs, the Drawn to Life, which you see on the screen here, and the Vegas shows will be resumed before shows elsewhere.
Yeah. Which is weird, because you got to see a little bit of that Drawn to Life show.
I did, and it was beautiful, and I was so excited to come back to Orlando so I could see the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I believe tickets are on sale again for November, but okay. That isn't a guarantee that it will be on in November.
Right.
You know, bar like anything else crazy happening, but
still 2020.
Yeah. I really hope it goes on, because what they had presented to us for Drawn to Life was incredible and beautiful. I got goosebumps. I like got misty eyed a little bit. It's just beautiful artistry, and it really honors the magic of Disney animation. And Cirque is such a unique and magnificent form of art, and I really don't want to see it disappear. So yeah. If they do end up having to sell, I hope some company or something buys it up and saves it. I really do.
Yeah. I've only seen one Cirque show, and that was La Nuba before it closed, and I loved it. I've been to Blue Man Group at Universal. Blue Man Group is just so funny and talented and unique. And I love that the Blue Man Group show, especially at Universal, they do, like, I think at least once a month, they do like autism shows, and where they tone down the noise levels so that people with autism can come and enjoy the show without having to be,
overstimulated,
like triggered or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows? I've only seen Ka in Las Vegas. And it was incredible. One of the most unique experiences I've ever had in the theater. I was really sad to see this, another casualty of COVID. But I hope it gets saved. I really do.
Me too.
All right. Yet another casualty. Queen Mary's Dark Harbor and Dark Horizon Point of No Return have both been canceled for this year.
Yeah, I love this.
In case you're not familiar, Dark Harbor is the Queen Mary's Halloween haunt in Long Beach, California. And Dark Horizon is its sister haunt that opened in Orlando last year. So this would have been its second year. They announced in conjointed statements that both events were canceled, but that they would come back in 2021. So a Halloween event bites the dust.
Yeah, so that's two big ones now. So you got Not So Scary, or three, I guess. Not So Scary, and now these two events. So it makes you wonder, like, I mean, you get nervous about what could happen with, like, Hallow Scream or Halloween Horror Nights.
Scary Farm, too.
And yeah, Not Scary Farm. So yeah, how do you do like a COVID safe version of these haunts where they are really about the characters getting up close to get the scare and, you know, the conga lines going through the houses? Like, how is this going to work if they decide to do it?
I mean, everyone talks, there are rumors going around. The last I heard was that, Horror Nights would maybe use like animatronic scares and not very many scare actors, if any at all. And they would pulse the houses. I mean, none of this is confirmed, obviously,
right.
But I don't know. I've been trying to think about that a lot, because Horror Nights is so crucial to Universal's operation and how much money they make and everything. Like, it's a business. They have to make money. And I just can't imagine that event not happening. I can't.
Same, because this is an anniversary year. This is their 30th anniversary this year. So yeah. if things were normal, they would be having a huge anniversary year. But yeah. Now they're probably going to have to tone it back. So how can you have an anniversary year and have it toned back at the same time? It's,
I don't know. And then you have to ensure safety, and it's going to be dark. So how do you know people won't take off their masks or not socially distance? It's going to be a learning experience for sure to see how they end up doing it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if they were going to cancel it, they would have said so by now.
I mean, I do like the idea of pulsating through the houses, because that does keep you distant. I don't know if y'all heard that. There's still people shooting off fireworks. but yeah, it keeps people distant, and it does make it a little bit more scarier, because I've been through the house by myself, and everyone's going after you. So it does make it a more intense experience, which is cool. But at the same time, like, if you pulsate, how often do you pulsate? Because what if the first group you just let in is a little bit slower than the next group? The next group catches up, and there goes your social distance. So,
and then you have to worry about the queue to get in to pulsate those people. So how long are those lines going to be? Are you going to put 6 feet in between each party and then mm-hmm. the line's going to wrap all the way through the park? But then that kind of defeats the purpose of social distancing in lines anyway.
Right.
Yeah. Like,
they'll have a scare zone where all you'll have is sound effects of people coughing and sneezing. That's a scare zone for 2020.
That scares me already. All right. Next up, the long under construction McDonald's near Disney's Animal Kingdom is now soft opened.
And I think it's plain open now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, it's open. You can go grab a burger and some fries. And then work off those calories on exercise bikes that help power the golden arches on a grassy wall that's set up in there. The whole restaurant's theme is very environmentally friendly, renewable energy sources, that kind of thing. It's super cool. You went, didn't you?
Yeah. I just kind of walked around for about 10 minutes just to get some photos of the outside and the inside. I haven't gone there to sit down. If y'all are hearing pops in the background, I apologize. our neighbors apparently still think it's July 4th. I don't know, or they have a lot of fireworks that they didn't use yesterday. I did get to walk around. It is a very beautiful looking restaurant, very much a very modern restaurant in terms of its environmentally friendly layouts and the windows. What they are saying is that the windows breathe to let sunlight and air in and to save energy. So you may notice windows moving to open and close a little bit by themselves. So that's a cool little element to it. The drive-thru is much more open now, and it's covered as well. The roofs also have solar panels on them too. So it looks, when you see in the photo right there, it looks really, really cool. And it's good to see that McDonald's back open. I mean, if you're looking for, I know they don't want you to say this, but if you're looking for a McDonald's that's better priced, you can just go over to 192 where they have like the dollar menu, because this McDonald's on Disney property has never really done the dollar menu. And that's on for a reason, because they're at Walt Disney World and they can do whatever they want the price is. That's another story. But it is very convenient for people that are staying there around Animal Kingdom and just want to, you know, grab a shake or grab some fries on the way back home.
Yep. I have definitely made post-park close trips to that McDonald's before they renovated it many a time. All right. Speaking of things opening up, this one kind of surprised me. Universal Cinemark at City Walk over at Universal Orlando is open.
Yeah. I saw this when I was actually just at Universal a few days ago to go watch Bourne. I think it was actually the day that they opened, because they opened on the 3rd, correct?
Bourne opened on
Not Bourne, but the Cinemark.
Oh, the Cinemark. Yes. It opened on the 3rd.
Yeah. Cause I went there on the 3rd before I went to SeaWorld. And so I saw that the theater was open. There were no lines. Like, there was not people clamoring to get in there, but they're doing like these kind of like classic cinema offerings right now. Like, they're kind of like the classic comeback or something like that.
Yeah.
Where they have films ranging from as, you know, current as, you know, Mad Max Fury Road. Yes. And even as classic as like Jaws, like films ranging the years. So I think that's kind of cool to be able to go see a film that you may have loved from 20 years ago on the big screen again, but at the same time, you're able to maintain a social distance in terms of their seating.
Yeah. They also listed a bunch of their different safety protocols. Sanitation happens throughout the entire complex every 30 minutes, and auditoriums are disinfected every morning, and all the seats are sanitized before each showing. So when you put your butt on that seat, it is sanitized.
It is clean as a whistle, sir.
And you got to wear a mask while you watch the movie, but you can remove it to eat and drink, which I feel like when people go in, they're just going to take their masks off and not put them back on. But
they'll just constantly have their popcorn by their mouth and be like, yep, see, I'm still eating.
But there's hand sanitizer everywhere. Employees are wearing face coverings and gloves. Frequent hand washing and changing of gloves is required. And they're gonna, if it stays open, you know, if they don't have to actually close again, they're going to start showing all of these movies that were supposed to come out over the past couple of months that have been delayed, like Tenet and Mulan and Bill and Ted.
Don't wait for Bill and Ted.
So here's hoping that that works out.
And Michael, yeah, mentioned they're playing Back to the Future as well, which I would love to see Back to the Future again on the big screen. I mean, of course, it's a classic Universal film. So,
yeah.
And Rodney is asking as well. And Brittany, I want to ask you.
Okay.
Back to the Future, 1, 2, or 3?
Oh, God. 2.
Yeah, you know, for some reason, yeah, I'm going to agree with you. Like, 2 followed very closely by 1, very closely by 3. Like, I love them all near equally. But yeah, for me, it's 2, 1, 3. That's my order.
2 feels like the most fun out of context for me. So, like, if that one's on, I can just, like, watch it and it's fun. The first one is great, but it has a ton of exposition. And if I just want something on in the background that is fun and not super slow, I'd put 2 on first.
Yeah, because 2 goes all over the place. You go to the future, then you go to an alternate present, then you go back to the past and interact with the first film. Like, yeah, it's just, like, I just love the pacing of that film.
Yeah.
And I went Back to the Future of the Ride. Yeah, I missed that.
I noticed that their comeback classics that they're showing, a lot of them are Universal films or related to Universal Orlando. So that's kind of neat.
Yeah.
We're still waiting on an opening date for AMC Disney Springs, though. It's according to the AMC website, they said that most theaters will reopen on Thursday, July 30th. However, there are no tickets available for that date or any day afterward for Disney Springs. So your mileage may vary. We'll see what happens. But for now, just Cinemark at Universal is open right now.
There you go.
All right. A new roller coaster opened at Kings Island this past week.
Yes,
Orion. It looks pretty killer. It
looks amazing.
Yeah. I've never been on a giga coaster. Oh, God. Just watching that drop makes my tummy hurt.
That's only one of, I think, 7 giga coasters in the world.
Yes. Its tallest drop is 287 feet, or it's 287 feet tall, but its drop is 300 feet, the first drop.
300 and higher, it makes it a giga coaster.
Yeah. And it's the park's longest steel roller coaster, coming in at 5,321 feet.
Yeah. And you look like right there, like there are some moments of airtime. We have a rider cam video on our YouTube channel. You can see the riders just like popping up out of their seat. Like that's a great coaster right there.
Man. I think of like the scariest coasters I've ever been on. I think Shikra is probably up there.
Really? That's not even that bad.
That drop, though, where you like hang over the edge for a second and then you go. Yeah, I think that one's up there. Lightning Rod at Dollywood, because that one just like, I mean, I got off of it and I like spit running off the side of my face because it was so fast and my mouth was open. But this one looks scary fun. I would definitely ride it and then probably never ride it again.
I think the tallest coaster I've been on would probably be Titan at Six Flags Over Texas in Arlington, Texas. Mm-hmm. I don't know the exact number. I think it's close to the 300. And I think it's like around 280, 290 range.
Yeah.
I've been on coasters that are practically this tall as Orion, and it's that drop just watching the ground come towards you. And Titan's different than Orion because Titan's drop goes further than the ground into a tunnel. So like you see the ground coming towards you and then you go through the ground.
That's scary. I love a good coaster. I will ride one and regret it later. That's usually my approach.
Just do it.
Yeah, just do it. And then I will feel scared and hate myself for doing it later.
Corey in our YouTube chat actually mentions another coaster that also recently opened was Candemonium
at
Hershey Park. And that looks like a fun little coaster.
Yeah, that one, it was kind of short.
It is.
Yeah, but it's a hyper coaster.
Yeah, it's very much like it's a smaller version of Mako.
Yeah. All right, next up, some sad news. The Disney College Program has been suspended until further notice at both Disneyland and Walt Disney World.
Yeah,
this announcement came out on the 2nd via Twitter, where Disney programs shared screen grabs of emails that they sent to participants of both resorts or participants who were supposed to come for Fall and Fall Advantage 2020, basically saying that we are rescinding your offer of employment. You are not a part of the program. There's not going to be a program. We're really sorry. It's pretty much the gist of it.
Yeah. I mean, I know that they're trying to get it going again after having to end the spring one early. Mm-hmm. But this it's still sad to see that they're just going to stop doing it.
Yeah. And well, they have like housing stuff that is still closed. They were building a new housing complex in Orlando called Flamingo Crossing. Yep. No word on that at all in the announcement.
We drive by it every now and then because it's not too far from my house, and it's I mean, I haven't seen active construction, but every time I go by, there's more done.
Well, that's good.
There's a lot of buildings there because they're taking like three main college program housing complexes and putting them all in one. So there's a lot of buildings, but yeah, I'm not sure like how far along in construction they are, if they've halted that construction or not.
Yeah. I mean, I was a CP. I lived in the commons, so I mm-hmm. had the complex with the washer and dryer. It was fine. It wasn't horrible. I don't know what Vista Way was like, but just from what I heard at the CP, it was like horrible.
Let me tell you, 2007, Fall of Advantage 2007, I was at Vista Way because I didn't know any better. When I came in, I had no prior knowledge of what the housing was like. So they were asking me, like, which one do you want to stay at? And I looked at the names. I was like, oh, I want to stay at Vista Way because Buena Vista. Ha, ha, ha. No idea. Well, it wasn't really that big of a regret because I was not the partier kind of person. Like, I went to work and played in the parks, so I didn't experience all of the party stuff that you would always hear about Vista Way. Yeah. So I didn't really have that bad of a Vista Way experience. I would have preferred after the fact to have gone to Chatham, but, you know, is what it is.
Yeah. But for those who were accepted to the Fall Advantage and Fall 2020 programs, Disney has updated their eligibility requirements. So if you graduate between now and when they bring it back, if it's hopefully brought back within the year, you can reapply. Because as far as I know, when I applied, I had just graduated college. So you can apply up to 6 months after your graduation date. Pretty much like the semester after you graduate is your last chance to go.
Yeah.
So now they'll probably extend that to a full year after graduation for people who are interested.
I hope they do.
I hope they do too. I loved my CP. I made so many good friends and I had such a great experience that even though it was so much hard work and so many long hours closing studios and getting up early to open, I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Yeah.
And it makes me sad to think that there are people who were just as excited about it as I was that kind of had the rug pulled out from under them.
Yeah, and I mentioned it when we first were talking about the college program closing. I would have met Sydney without the college program. Like, Spencer and Oliver wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be where I'm at right now without the college program. So, like, I know how important that this whole thing is. Mm-hmm. So I really feel bad for everyone that can't do it now.
Yeah, but hopefully it will come back soon once it is safe and all those kids can come back and make some magic.
Exactly.
All right. A little update, though. This things have kind of changed since this was written. This was posted today. Disney World pass holders are seeing long waits for park visits, with park passes almost gone for July. So if you don't know, to visit Walt Disney World now, you have to either have a dated ticket from before the resort closed, because you can't buy any new tickets right now, or you have to have an annual pass, and you have to go through the Disney Park Pass system to reserve a date to visit each park, and you can only visit one park per day, and you can only make 3 reservations at a time. How many days in advance? 2 weeks?
2 weeks, I think. Maybe 30 days? I'm not entirely sure.
But either way, you have to have that park pass reservation and your admission in order to visit the park of your choice. Mm-hmm. So if you go to the park pass website, they have a little calendar that shows you all of the available parks on a particular day for resort guests, annual pass holders, and guests who just have theme park tickets and not a resort stay. And based on capacity, those parks can fill up or not fill up, or there could be some days where all the parks are full, you can't go. And it's starting to look like for APs, your options are getting pretty slim going into August.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I wanted to talk to you about this because you're an AP.
Well, yes.
And Sydney is a cast member. Mm-hmm. What does it feel worth it to you at this point for what you're paying for your AP to kind of have to gamble on when you get to go to the parks? Is that fair? Do you think they should lower the AP price, which I doubt they would ever do? But as a pass holder, what are you thinking? What are your thoughts on all of this?
So I'm in a unique position in terms of my annual pass right now because, you know, full disclosure, since I still am currently a full-time employee with Attraction Magazine, my annual pass was paid for by my boss. So he fully paid it out. So my pass is good until August. So I haven't paid for it myself. However, with all this stuff that's happening, I'm seriously doubting if I'm going to get my own. We do pay for my daughter's Spencer's annual pass. And I just feel like only to be able to pick a few days and you don't even get to plan out very far in advance. And even, you know, if I wanted to visit next week, they're all gone by now. Like it's hard. I just don't know if I like this model that Disney's doing. I know they have to because they are the most visited theme park in the world, basically, and they need to be able to regulate how many people are coming to the parks. But like, I go back to Universal, and they don't do this. Like it's open, and they'll close the parks if they hit capacity, but they have yet to hit capacity, especially with their annual pass holders. And they have done a damn good job with the social distancing and all that stuff and keeping the capacity down. So I don't know. It's so different between what Disney and Universal are doing. I don't even know if I like this Disney system because, yeah, you can't make advanced reservations that far as an annual pass holder. And even as cast members, like Sydney, she can't make a reservation almost at all.
Aren't they blocked out? They're not blocked out. Months? Okay.
They are not blocked out. And I'll say this right now because they have released this info on the hub, so cast members know this. The way that they're doing it is there may be some dates in the future that have blockouts, but for the most part, they will be able to go, but at a limited basis because they are giving priority for reservations to guests and annual pass holders. Then if there are days that still have availabilities, cast members will then be able to go in and get the rest of it on a first come first serve basis. So it's just kind of like you got to be quick and hopefully you find a date that you want to go, but it's not going to be like it has been where you're just sitting at home and like, well, you know, Magic Kingdom doesn't close till 11. Well, let's just go enjoy the night.
I've done that so many times.
Yeah.
If you're bored, you just go to Magic Kingdom, you tap in and go watch Happily Ever After and then go home.
Exactly.
And you can't do that now.
And you can't even park hop, like, period. You can't park hop. And that's always been like a great thing to do because, say you're at Animal Kingdom and, you know, the park closes there at 8. And then, like I said, Magic Kingdom doesn't close at 11 and you still want to stay out and have some fun. You just go over to Magic Kingdom and ride the night outs, but you can't do that now.
Mm-mm. I don't have an annual pass, so I don't pay for it. I know they're expensive though. And it would just be so hard for me to financially justify paying for it right now with this system in place.
Yeah.
I think it's a well thought out, organized system. I don't think it's bad. I just think for the pass holder in particular, they get the short end of the stick.
Yeah, agree.
Yeah.
And SeaWorld is also doing reservations as well to visit their parks. And from what I've seen, like, I had no problem getting a reservation for July 3rd a couple of days beforehand. July 4th filled up pretty quickly because it is July 4th. Everyone wants to go because they're one of the only two parks doing fireworks. So understandable that on a holiday it filled up. But for the most part, especially with annual pass holders at SeaWorld, I've heard reports that they've been able to go day of if they wanted to. So because the reservations hasn't filled up. But of course, the popularity between SeaWorld and Disney is a lot different. Yeah. Disney has to also handle everyone that's coming in from out of town and coming to visit the parks. So mm-hmm. it is a different situation. And I understand why Disney has to do it this way, but it doesn't make it the best way.
Right. And then who's to say that they won't lower capacity if things continue to go on the path that they're going mm-hmm. in Orlando? I feel like on Twitter every day I see a new terribly high number. Who knows?
I mean, it's parks are going to open. They're going to stay open. Then they cannot afford to close again.
No.
And everyone, aside from the park pass system, I'm sure Disney will do a great job in terms of their social distancing and keeping up with the queues and the ride vehicles and keeping people apart. I know they'll do a fantastic job. All the parks have been doing their best. And like I said, I feel safer at the theme parks than I do at the grocery store. It's just, I will say, I was going to go to Magic Kingdom on the July 15th. I was not able to get a reservation on its first day on July 11th because they filled up pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. But I got for July 15th, and I got, Animal Kingdom for the 16th and Epcot for the 17th. But now that I have this new job at Legoland, my first day of training is on July 15th. So I'm canceling those passes so that people can grab them and they become available. So I won't be able to do that, probably go to Disney anytime soon. But we are going, Sydney and I are going on July 13th because we got passes for the cast preview for Hollywood Studios.
Oh, cool.
So we're going to go and check that out and see how things are. And I know Theron is going, I think, this Tuesday to Magic Kingdom. And
oh, wow.
Sure, we'll have reports on that on the attractions. So, I don't expect Disney to do bad in terms of how they're operating in the park.
Yeah.
In terms of these park passes, I am not a fan, and it really makes me not really want to worry about getting a pass there at this moment.
Yeah, and that's totally fair and valid. I think, because right now this system seems kind of built to not encourage pass holders to come.
Yeah, so, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so ugh. But that's everything. For that news in the queue
is everything. So now we're going to move on to our main attraction, and our main attraction this week is a new attraction that has opened up. I mentioned it in talking in brief earlier in the episode, but the Bourne Stuntacular is officially open over at Universal Studios Florida. This is their newest big indoor stunt show that is based off of the mega popular Bourne franchise from Universal Pictures. I know they're a few years old at this point, but when you look at how much money they made, they were a huge hit for Universal. So it makes sense that they're taking this franchise and turning it into a stunt show, because that all those movies are all action packed. So they have the making for a good stunt show. And, we had been talking about this practically since we started this attractions podcast.
About
the Bourne Spectacular, and how we were kind of hoping this will be a great fit for Universal. And it would be something that is like Waterworld at Universal Studios Hollywood, where yes, it's based off an older movie, but the action and everything will make it relevant and fun to see over and over again. And I'm here to tell you, they nailed it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I've seen it twice now. Here, I'll go ahead and let me start sharing some clips of the show. They, in terms of the way that they're doing the stunts and mixing it with technology, you've never seen anything like this in a theme park, the mix of live action and screen. So you look at that is a screen behind them, and it's almost hard to tell who's a real person and who's part of the screen. The way that they blend screen with sets is unlike anything you've ever seen. And you'll see it here in the clips coming up, but they have like sets that move across the stage via RFID technology that sync up perfectly with the screen. So it's like an extension of the scene with the set. So if you look over here on your left side of the screen, or you're right there down in the center, he's going up a physical set, and the set is moving with the screen. So it's just, it's hard to appreciate it in video. It has to be seen in person. It really, really does. The screen is 100, I think they said it's 128 feet wide. Whoa. And around 30 feet tall. Like, that shot right there looks like a helicopter shot from a movie. But that is just the physical set turning with the turning of the screen to really sell, like, you're flying around this building. It's just mind-blowing.
And this car chase right here,
I want to see it.
It looks crazy.
And see, they go slow motion, and they turn in slow motion. It's just, I can't. I can't. And they even have high falls. Like, you'll see right here in this clip, like, from physical to water effect right there on the screen. And then boom, I think that's a 28, 30 feet fall that the stunt guys are doing.
And then it switches to a screen right there.
Yeah. He jumps through the set and goes into the screen. But you know, like I said, it doesn't feel like a screen because they have a helicopter with wind blowing on you. And then at some point, you know, he goes off the screen right there. And now he's physically hanging over the audience, and you can see he'll lift his feet up, and it looks like he's trying to avoid this crane right here. It's just insane.
Ooh. Oh.
And then, of course, you know, it wouldn't be a stunt show without fire. So there is fire. They have a car, like full-size cars on the stage moving with the screen. Like, we're just going to watch the...
I'm just watching these clips. Universal really kind of... I'm going to be honest. I expected this to suck. Thought it was not going to be any good. Most would call Bourne a dead IP. And they really knocked it out of the park. They really took modern tech and built an incredible looking stunt show that really celebrates the art of stunt acting.
No, yeah, it wholeheartedly, like, takes what we know and love from stunt shows like Sinbad that used to be at Islands and brings it into with the modern technology and blends in these different elements to really create the next level of stunt shows. Mm-hmm. And I cannot recommend it enough. And plus, it's all indoors. So get out of humidity. Yeah, perfect. The cool thing, there are some Terminator Easter eggs. I know some people are saying, you know, they miss Terminator. And I will say, I do prefer this show over Terminator. Now, Terminator does have more of a story to it. Like Bourne does have a storyline going for it, but they don't really focus on that more than they want to focus on the stunts, where Terminator really did have like a story that was based off of Terminator 2, kind of a continuation of that. So in terms of story, I do prefer Terminator, but overall I do prefer this show over that. There are Easter eggs. One blatant Easter egg, which is kind of quick, you might miss it. During the motorcycle chase, when they go into slow motion and he's hanging on the light pole, and then when he gets off and starts walking away, if you look on the screen at one of the facades, there is a coffee shop, and the name of the coffee shop is Connor's Coffee. Connor, the kid from Terminator 2 3D. Also, I don't know if this is an intentional Easter egg, but at the end of the pre-show, the person briefing you about what's going on says, we got to protect Jason Bourne from being terminated at and I'm like, I wonder if that was purposefully written.
That seems too on the nose there.
Speaking of the pre-show, I have 100% confirmed I am now part of this attraction. I meant to pull this up. So let me pull up the clip here. So I want to say like a couple of months ago, I hinted that I got to be part of the filming for the pre-show, and I wasn't able to talk about it until now. And I can talk about it now that it's open. They filmed, it was all annual pass holders. We got to go into the queue, and the queue was practically finished the way you see it nowadays. And we were put in a line. And the director who directed all the video work and directed the show came out and, you know, gave us direction and told us what to do. And all we had to do was just walk through the scanner part of the queue about 5 or 6 times. And they were changing camera angles because the cameras are going to act as security cameras. Well, let me make sure that this clip came up. Good. Yeah, the cameras are acting as security cameras so that during the queue and the pre-show, you're going to see the rest of your audience walking through like they're going through the same facility as you and getting their facial scans done and making sure they're not threats or something like that. Which now, you know, this was back in like November, December, or January. I can't remember exactly when it was. And then you have now with all of the face masks, it doesn't match anymore. Yeah. And there was no way they could have, you know, thought about that. But it is weird to see the audience walking through with no regard for face masks or social distancing. But it is what it is. So the Q video, it doesn't show the audience for more than like 25, 30 seconds. And every time it comes back to the people walking through the queue, it's a different portion of the queue. So I had to watch several times to try and find where I am at. But I did find myself. So we're going to play some of the video right now. So you can see they've got all these graphics coming up, and then they have parts where on each side of the screen, they're showing each side of the line. So if you look on the left side of the screen, I will tell you when I am coming up. In fact, I will pause it. So everyone's going in. We're going to see a fun show. La da da da. Nothing going wrong here. And boom.
Banksley. Got him. There's
my threat right there. I think he shouldn't be let in.
Quick, get him. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, sorry, I had you, for some reason, I had the audio muted. I do not know why.
How rude.
How rude indeed. So yeah, it's fun to be part of theme park history now. We'll see how long this loop continues going. But, yeah, keep an eye out for me if you go see the Bourne Stuntacular. I'm in a collared shirt walking through, smiling.
I'm so happy to be scanned right now, security screening.
Nothing's going to go wrong here.
Oh, not at all.
So yeah, highly 100% recommend checking out the Bourne Stuntacular. It's not just it's definitely not like a cash grab to go off a recent franchise. Like we said, this is a dead IP. They haven't made a new Bourne movie in years. And there's only four of them, but it's just the technology behind this and the stunt work. It's so good. I really recommend everyone goes to see this.
It just looks like good fun.
Do you have any other questions about the show?
How long is it about?
I would say it's about 20, 25 minutes long. But that could, I may be off a little bit because both times that I have seen it, there have been some technical hiccups. Mm. It is still a brand new show. And the set pieces are RFID run. So there are no people moving the sets. They're going by themselves. So both times that I saw it, at the beginning of the motorcycle chase one time and at the end of the motorcycle chase the second time, a set didn't rotate or move. So they had to stop it and reset all the pieces before they can move on. So mm-hmm. My understanding of the exact length is not correct at the moment, but I think it's around 20, 25 minutes when it runs smoothly. The cool thing is, and this does happen, they already have in mind what they're going to do because I'm sure this is happening a lot more often than they want this to. So when the show does have to go down to reset the sets, a stage manager comes out and lets everyone know exactly what's happening, gives everyone facts about how the set works and things about the show. So they're prepared and they're keeping the audience entertained while they're getting reset, which is 100% A-okay.
That's neat. I didn't expect them to go into the technical stuff when there are issues.
Yeah, that's when they mentioned like the how big the screen is. I think there's over 5,000 panels in the screen that make up that giant screen.
Whoa.
they keep teasing how they want to do a Mario Kart tournament on it.
Man, that would be dangerous. You know what? With all of this tech, I wish that Disney would update Indy with this kind of stuff. It would be so cool.
I don't.
No?
I don't.
No?
I do love Indy, and it's been going strong for 30 years now. But there's just something about Indy where it's all physical. You know, it's just like the debate with movies, physical effects versus digital effects. I do love the physical effects, and Indy is a great example of how you can do an entire show with physical effects perfectly. But Bourne is a perfect example of how you can blend physical with digital perfectly.
Yeah.
So, you know, I do like both, but I think Indy should stay the way it is.
What about, and I'm just blue skying here, Mando stunt show?
Mando.
I miss
Good to see you, Mando.
I miss it.
Season 2 later this year.
Maybe. Hopefully.
No, I think it's going to happen. I think it'll happen. I think they're still on track for an October release.
They finished shooting before all of this went down.
Yeah. And a lot of productions are getting ready to go back or have already. I know Jurassic World Dominion is the first big Hollywood production to restart filming. And I think they're actually starting within a day or two over at Pinewood Studios in the UK. So they're starting to slowly get back going with the movie industry.
Yeah.
Yeah, Michael, Indiana Jones, Full House, Steve.
I love that episode.
Yes. I remember as a kid watching that and I was like, well, can I go and run the ball and be the one that gets run over? That'd be fun.
Not dangerous at all.
Yeah. So, Bourne, go see it.
I definitely will next time I'm in town at the parks.
All right. Well, at this point, we're nearing the end of our episode here. But for those in our YouTube chat, if you have any questions, go ahead and throw them out right now. And while we're waiting for some of your questions, I do want to give a plug right now. Our newest issue of Attractions Magazine, Summer 2020, is out right now. So I wanted to show it off here. Our special Closed for COVID cover with a very empty Hollywood Studios. So you can see a lot of aerial photos of how the parks looked when they were empty during the closures here. Let me try to find a page here. So, yeah, so really, really cool photos. And you can see all these photos on our social media channels as well and on our website. But here it is in print.
You get them nice and glossy.
Do what?
They're nice and glossy, though, if you get them in print.
Yeah. Q&A with the voice of Marge Simpson in here, a look at the Little Mermaid land that never was. So some cool things in this issue. So pick it up right now at attractionsmagazine.com in print or digital in our app on Nook or Kindle.
It's a great plug.
Thank you. 10 years of this, I didn't know how to plug a magazine.
I'm going to have to practice my plug voice now.
Corey, thank you so much. My love to you and your family. Thank you for watching along. It's been a fun run. It really has. It's been the dream job. It really has. Rodney, Family Matters. All of the old ABC sitcoms at Disney were the best.
I love those episodes.
Blossom was not at Walt Disney World. Blossom went to Disneyland in California. AJ, will this be a regular weekly stream? Yeah, we've been doing the podcast live stream now for a few
months. Almost a year.
Yeah, so
we're 10 shy of a year.
I'm probably gonna be teaching Brittany how to run StreamYard on here and do this. So I hope that she can continue doing these live streams of the podcast every week.
Yes, I don't know what is going to happen because next week is Banks's last episode with me. Tiny violins. hopefully I will be able to pick the software up and learn it pretty quickly so that way there's not a whole lot of, I don't know what the proper word is, but disruption, I guess.
Right. StreamYard is, and if anyone is looking to find any sort of software to live stream to their channels, I highly recommend StreamYard. It's very easy and simple interface to do. So check it out, StreamYard.com.
Yeah, so I gotta learn that, and then we'll see how it goes. But please bear with me in the transitional period because I'll probably mess it up at least once. I give myself that pass to make like one mistake.
It's all good. It is all good. Now everyone's mentioning their favorite ABC episodes. Boy Meets World at Disney was amazing. Step by step. So do you remember the premise of the Step-by-Step episode by chance?
I have never seen that one.
So there were two plots going on. The plot A was, and forgive me because I do not remember the names of these characters, but one of the characters was trying to set the Guinness World Record of doing every single ride and show and food cart in Walt Disney World.
There's no way. It's too big now.
Yeah, it's too big. Nowadays, that's impossible. But back in like mid-90s with only three parks, I think, go watch it and find out. And then there's a B-plot where two of the guys were pretending to be descendants of the Disney family to impress some girls.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. In fact, the intro to Step by Step was filmed at Six Flags Magic Mountain, the roller coaster that they're riding. Exactly. Yeah, and I saw someone mention more shows need to be filmed in the parks, and I wholeheartedly agree.
I remember when they used to actually use the studios, like the sound stages at Universal and Hollywood Studios back in the day.
And believe it or not, Universal is still a place where things get filmed. Like they literally just, a Volkswagen commercial just started airing that was filmed on the New York streets the week Universal reopened. So like they're still using the sound stages and the sets there for stuff. But yeah, studios, man. I miss back, they used to have Wheel of Fortune there, Star Search, like, good old days. All that, is that used to be Nickelodeon Studios used to be at Universal. So all the old 90s, all that, and Guts figured out, all that was.
Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Legends of the Hidden Temple.
I always wanted to be on that show.
Same, right?
I was too young. By the time I was old enough to actually do it, they didn't have it on the air anymore.
I know someone. I actually know someone living here in Orlando who was a contestant on that show because they shot here. They had a lot of kids who were local who were contestants on that. So I do know someone who got to be on that.
That's so cool.
All right. Gory wants to know, this will be the last question before we say goodnight. What are our favorite retired Disney attractions?
Oh, geez. Great Movie Ride.
Oh, see, now you... See, I for a second I forgot that was retired. Now I'm sad.
Now I made you sad.
No, I think it's honestly the Alien Encounter.
I never got to do that. I got my childhood ruined by that.
I cried, I was so scared to ride it, but it was still so cool and so unique for the Magic Kingdom to have an attraction at the Magic Kingdom where you see and hear someone get eaten and killed by an alien. What?
I will forever regret not experiencing that, even though I would have hated it as a child. Just bring it back for one night, just once. You're not doing anything in there, probably.
It's true. It's sitting there rotting right now. Corey says it's Timekeeper because of Robin Williams. Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah. That was a good one. And Kat. Hey, Kat. GMR, may she rest in peace. Agreed.
We will never forget her.
My wife off to the side has whispered Enchanted Tiki Room under new management, and this is where I'm going to tell her to leave the room because we don't mention that attraction in this household.
Oh, man. It's a definition of an unpopular opinion.
All right. Well, until next week, Brittany, where can everyone find you on the interwebs?
You can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE. Yes, it's spelled funny on Twitter and Instagram, and occasionally at twitch.tv/BrittPlays3Ts.
And you can find me on Twitter at Banks Lee, on Instagram at Disney Goofball, and all the Attractions Magazine socials on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and attractionsmagazine.com, but only for the next week and a half. For those who tuned in late to the podcast and who have not heard the news, I'll mention it one more time before we say goodnight. I am leaving Attractions Magazine after 10 years on July 14th. That will be my last day. So next week's episode of the Attractions Podcast will be my final episode, so we're going to stop playing that tiny violin. next week we're going to talk about my top 10 favorite segments from the past 10 years, and we'll say goodbye. And like I said, follow me. You can find me personally at Banksley on Twitter, at Disney Goofball on Instagram. I'm sure I'll have lots of more fun things to post on my next adventure heading over to Legoland Florida as their new public relations and content manager. So I'm very excited to jump into the PR world and do something new.
I mean, they say, try something new, stay safe, have fun, and all that, right?
I'm about to try something very new.
What a time to be going into PR right now.
Exactly. And Michael, spoiler alert, Yes, 90s Night will be part of my top 10.
They're not segments, but I have two E&O memories that I am prepared to share.
All right.
That we've had together that I treasure. So
I can't wait to hear about them because I'm trying to now think of what they are.
One is like a very small thing, but I feel like it bonded us for life. And then the other one is like an actual memorable thing.
I can't wait to hear about it. You'll have to like get some visuals ready or something. Like,
yeah, I'll have to go digging through all our old episodes to see if I can find them. I know that there are GIFs of one and pictures of the other one.
All right. Well, I'll look forward to hearing that. Yeah. So until next week, everyone, as Brittany said, make sure you get out there, stay safe, but most of all, have fun.
Thanks for hanging out, everybody.